Right now, I'm standing in a hole. A 300-foot deep hole, to be exact. But even though I'm down here, I'm still connected to the entire job site. Because I have the new Sprint Direct Connect with apps like Workforce Locator. That lets me know my foreman, Mike, is...
Yeah, I'm here.
And I have three times the coverage, so I know that my most important delivery...
Just arrived.
And as part of the fastest push-to-talk, I can assemble my team the moment I need them. Guys?
On our way.
So now I can focus on turning this hole into a hotel.
Upgrade to the new Done. The new Sprint Direct Connect with three times the coverage and access to the fastest push-to-talk experience nationwide. Now when you buy one Motorola Admiral Rugged smartphone for $49.99, you'll get one free. To upgrade, call 800-SPRINT-1 or visit a Sprint store near you. Offer ends 1/10/13. Offer available to corporate liable accounts. Excludes taxes. Two-year agreement. $36 activation. Up to $350 early termination fee for devices. Fastest claim based on initial setup time for push-to-talk calls originating in Nextel or Sprint-owned 3G coverage. Coverage claim based on comparison of Nextel National Network square miles to Sprint National Network inclusive of roaming. Restrictions apply. See store.
What's your plan B? Is what you're doing taking you toward or away from your goals? Are you fulfilled? You can start over. The past is the past. This is a revolution of hope. We provide a way for extra income part or full-time with a mission and vision of hope designed to inspire. This is the greatest movement on earth. Make a commitment to yourself and ask, what do you want your life to be like? Join us in our revolution of hope. Go to tellmeplanb.com or call 803-431-0775.
And now, the show that covers politics from all angles, Inside Politics with David Califf.
You are Inside Politics with David Califf, a show that covers the issues that affect you. And hope everybody's having a great Friday. Almost time for the weekend, but not just yet. We got some more stuff to get to, more issues to cover. And we've got a great Friday show lined up for you on this Friday edition of Inside Politics. But first, in the news, today was the economic jobs report for the month of June, better known as Root for America to Fail Day for the GOP. It's funny how we don't hear them talk about the economy and jobs ever since the 2012 election finished. I guess it was for them rather than an issue for the country, for us. And the new jobs report showed 195,000 jobs created. Unemployment rate still at 7.6%. This is close to 200,000 jobs created. But we'll know what the story will be on Fox over the weekend. It'll be, why couldn't it be 295,000 jobs? Nothing but negativity and rooting for the country to fail from today's GOP. But tonight, it's all about the Affordable Health Care Act, better known as Obamacare. And just over the last couple of years, they've tried to fight progress every step of the way, whether it's going back to the debates when we had these town hall meetings and Tea Party rallies and the Tea Party going crazy. And then it was passed, despite all the obstruction from the Republicans in Congress. It passed both houses, signed into law by the president. Then, sued by several conservative outlets and states, and it went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that it was constitutional, and this is a conservative court, 5-4, and that wasn't enough. They tried to repeal it since they took over the Congress, since the Tea Party led House has taken over 37 times to try to repeal the Affordable Health Care, over 37 times, even though they know it never has a chance of passing. And the 2012 election, the presidential campaign, the president ran on Obamacare. The guy that ran against it, even though it was based on his idea, and it's what he did as governor of Massachusetts. And today, even today, they're continuing to say, we're not going to provide any more money, because they control the purse in the House. We're not going to provide any more money to promote the benefits and promote the upcoming federal health exchanges. They've tried to obstruct, block, take it to the courts, run it in campaigns, and they're saying they want to do it in 2014. I say bring it on. And at the state level, where they do have control of states, in some red states, they've tried to block Medicaid expansion. Even though it's going to cost billions of dollars, affecting millions of people from possibly getting health care and saving lives. Well, the latest example was 2 days ago when Trump announced that it was going to be a one-year delay the provision of Obamacare, where employers that now have that have 50 or more employees, which are mostly are large businesses, because that's who has 50 or more employees, it's going to be that provision where they have to, it's mandated they have to offer health care for the employees. Well, it's been made for a year. And the GOP was quick to celebrate and say, oh, this is an example of why it's a fire, this is an example of their demise. Really, you want to get to the facts of this? This only affects 2% of employers, because right now, 98% of employers are providing health coverage for their employees. It's that 2%, particularly restaurants, small businesses, that Obamacare was trying to target, because right now those are the employees that are facing those gaps. Right now, over 160 million employees, people, are getting health care through their employees. It's the biggest, the largest provider of health care is through the employee health coverage system. So this is not a sky is falling. It only affects 2% of employees. It's only postponed for 1 year. And these employees, it will turn out to be even better for them, because they'll be able to go into the federal health exchanges where they'll be available to get federal tax subsidies, tax credits. So this is no sky is falling. This is a minor blimp, if you will call it that. It could turn out to be a blessing for many of these employees that fall under that 2% crack. So GOP saying that this is a big deal, a failure, the facts don't add up. But you know, this doesn't surprise us, because the facts haven't added up for the last 4 years when it comes to Obamacare, and that's never stopped them. So it doesn't surprise us they continue to try to find any reason to attack Obamacare. But I got a message to these folks. Obamacare is not going anywhere. It's the law of the land, and it's here to stay. Deal with it or get out the way. And joining us tonight to discuss this topic is Mr. Bill Atkins, Democratic strategist. And hello, Bill. Thanks for joining us live on Inside Politics.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. You mentioned the job numbers and the details. The private sector did create 202,000 jobs last month. But at the same time, because sequestration, the federal government did 7,000 for a total of 195 after that reduction. And over the last 3 months, almost 600,000 jobs, because last two months were revised up at 70,000 jobs, well, was not when they initially were reported. So for 3 months, we've added almost 600,000 jobs. And think about where we were a little over 4 years ago, shedding 900,000 jobs a month. This nation's turned around. You're right. The right wing is cheering for America to fail. And this kind of news is the worst kind of news for them, because the greatest nightmare for the right wing, I call it the right wing, is that this president will succeed. And he has succeeded despite their holding America hostage to their desires to regain what they consider their entitlement, which is control of government.
And I hope on the 4th of July they took a good look in the mirror, because there's nothing patriotic about these folks rooting for the country to fail with the economy, and not just the economy when it comes to progress for millions of Americans to get health care. And they were celebrating and acting like it was some big celebration this week, because the president announced that there's a major part of Obamacare, not a major, but a provision in Obamacare that is delayed 1 year, where employers that have to at least offer health coverage, it's not mandated that every employee has it, but they have to offer a health plan for 50 or more employees. These are large businesses, corporations. Most small businesses don't have 50 or more employees. And they're acting like this is a big deal, but when you break down the numbers, according to NBC News, 98% of employers are already providing health coverage. This affects 2% of employers.
There are a little over 6 million corporations in this nation. About 210,000 of them have 50 or more employees. 96% of that number does. They do already have plans in place, leaving about 20,000 that would be affected. And this Obama decision, it's a wise decision, gave these businesses the opportunity to make plans for this event. Because ultimately, they're looking at a situation where, look at the greatest beneficiary of Medicaid or government-provided medical care. It's Walmart. We are subsidizing corporations like Walmart because they don't pay a living wage and they don't supply medical care. Now, these other companies and people, employees of these companies, are taking responsibility for their own medical care rather than government having to do it. They're stepping up, and it's going to lessen the cost of medical care for everybody.
While
making these people responsible for their own care.
You're right. And a majority of that 2% is made up of restaurants, fast food chain, the restaurant industry. Mm-hmm. And many of them will qualify for Medicaid expansion based on, you know, a lot of minimum wage in the food industry. And, you know, waiters and waitresses get paid on tips. So, you know, many of them will qualify for the Medicaid expansion, but millions of them will not, because there's many states, including South Carolina and Louisiana, just to name a few, Texas, they're not participating in the Medicaid expansion. Mm-hmm. So a good way of closing up that gap of just 2% for that first year is the Medicaid expansion. And it's just the GOP that's blocking that.
Those states that turn down that Medicaid expansion are still going to have to pay about $1,000, I think, an employer, to maintain the existing programs. Now, the situation here, this $2,000 to $3,000 penalty for each worker who gets subsidized individual coverage through the public exchanges rather than through their employer that has 50 or more employees, that $2,000 to $3,000 penalty has two purposes. One, it encourages those companies that currently lack coverage to get coverage because they set a penalty unless they create a plan. And the other side of that situation is it discourages companies that have plans from dropping their plans and putting people on the Medicaid expansion. It's a way to bring about lesser cost, coverage for everybody, and making everyone responsible. I thought that was what these people on the right were for, people being responsible for themselves. But instead, they label the box freedom or liberty, but that really, the contents are slavery. That's what these people are selling.
And this is also going to turn out to be a positive for many of these employees because they'll be able to qualify for the federal health exchanges. Federal health exchanges, if your employer is not providing the health care, you can qualify for the federal health exchange system. The plans, you can start enrolling October the 1st for our listeners, and then it starts January of next year. And this is where you can actually, as you're right, I thought these guys were for personal responsibility and the free market. The federal health exchanges in each state will provide multiple health care plans to choose from. That one, no health insurance company will have a monopoly, and you can pick which plan fits you the best. You qualify, and many of these workers will, particularly in the restaurant industry, for federal tax subsidies, which can amount to a couple thousand dollars, particularly for single and people in 3 or 4 or 5 family member households. So this is not a sky is falling. This is actually, it's still going to turn. There's really no changes in the way the GOP, the way these politicians and the conservative media put it this week. Exactly, the sky is falling. And then when you cut through you get past the rhetoric and get to the substance, there is no changes.
Well, the paranoia and the fear are marketing tools of the right wing. And so they're selling their spin on this circumstance using paranoia and fear. Let's step back and take a look at why the president addressed the medical care industry in the way he did. Keep in mind, this nation pays almost 20% of its GDP, twice as much as other nations, for the medical care industry. Yet we're 37th on the globe. We compare ourselves to a nation like England that has public health care. They have an equal number of doctors for citizens. In England, they have a longer lifespan. In England, they have a lesser infant mortality. Why are we paying twice as much for medical care in this nation? Keep in mind, too, that this is an alternative. Obamacare is already affecting medical care, the cost of medical care, and driving costs down. And the situation remains that we are taking responsibility for ourselves. The medical care industry, it's an unsustainable cost to America to continue to pay 20% of our GDP. That's a sort of term that Republicans like to use. Let me use it against them now. The medical care industry costs, as they stand, are unsustainable.
is go back to when everybody was on their own. And we saw that in the Bush years, record number of people without health care, record number of cost going up in health insurance plans. That's their plan. They have no plan. Their plan is to feed you to health insurance corporations where you're at their will. That's what their plan is. And, you know, these federal health exchanges, it's going to be a game changer when it comes to Obamacare, because millions of people will qualify for the federal health exchanges and qualify for these tax credits. And for our listeners, well, let's say your health care plan costs, let's say your family four, and it costs a couple thousand dollars or more. The tax credits are going to help offset much of that cost, where let's say, you know, it's a plan where it costs $4,000 or $5,000, you may qualify for the health insurance tax credit, which could be $2,500, $3,500, depending on your income and your household income, could help offset that cost substantially, where your health insurance premiums are going to be affordable for you and your family, which was what the reasoning for passing this law was.
The right wing wants now the free market to take it. I think the free market will cure the circumstance, ignoring the fact the free market is what made this circumstance. Also, keep in mind the Rand Corp study that came out a week or two back that stated specifically that for all the alternatives, and there are a few from the right side of the aisle, proposed, none of them are better than Obamacare. Obamacare had, for instance, extended the life of Medicare and saved $197 billion over the next 10 years. 10 years. Extended the life of Medicare, saving $197 billion. And that success, as we have already said, is exactly what the right wing is afraid of. And you also pointed out that they have repeatedly tried to repeal Obamacare, probably on now 38 or so, without attempting one jobs bill, not one attempt to pass a jobs bill. And it's having a negative effect, as I said before, 202,000 jobs created by the private sector, but where employment came about was the 7,000 people dropped from government. It's also having the sequestration, is having an added negative effect on the defense industry. And if they're on our side, please tell the Republicans to stop helping us.
Yeah, you mentioned it 37 times and try to repeal it, over 37 times. They're saying that this week's announcement by the White House regarding this provision is reason to try to repeal it again. No, you guys don't need an excuse. You didn't need an excuse to 37 other times you tried to repeal it. These guys have lost their minds, because the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over and expecting different results. They're wasting taxpayer money. They're wasting the time not getting to the real problems of America, like, as you mentioned, like jobs bills. And to do it 39th time, I think it's outrageous. And I think every voter should look at what's going on in Washington, and including Republicans. And you have to, for Republicans that are listening and are out there, these people do not have your best interest. They only have the interest of the health insurance corporations. That's all they care about.
And again, they use fear and paranoia as marketing tools. I came across something today, the history of Medicare and how Republicans have assaulted it all and basically impugned itself. In 1969, Republicans, is a Chicago Tribune story, Republicans say that the Medicare Trust Fund will be bankrupt in 1976. In 1981, they were saying that it would be bankrupt before 2000. Again in 1981, it would be bankrupt in 2.5 years. It goes on and on. Medicare entered bankrupt from 1983, bankrupt 1986. 1984, they're saying it's going to be bankrupt in 1989. It just continues to roll. They're using that fear, that paranoia, and claiming that a successful system is going to fail. But you know what? It's outlived them all.
Yeah, they're always on the wrong side of history. And one of the things that the new talking point they've had this week is that the president's looking out for the corporations by not putting them under this provision. Now, they want to have it both ways. For the last 3 years, they've been saying the president's going to hurt corporations, going to hurt jobs, going to kill jobs. And then the president postpones this provision for 1 year. Now they're saying the president's only helping the corporations. How bipolar is that?
Okay, bipolar is correct. We've already talked about how it only affects about 20,000 corporations overall. We're talking about people who are look at the success already. Well, all the year they're trying to generate almost 600,000 jobs in 3 months. The unemployment rate is 7.6, but it's maintained that number, be falling otherwise, because more people are looking for jobs in a time when they're more optimistic. The economy is improving. People are coming out. We're coming out of this great recession in spite of obstructionism of the Republican Party.
And this whole notion that the president's siding with the corporations, that's what Fox has been saying for the last 3 days on the heels of this decision. Now you guys are worried about who's on the side of corporations and who's not? The GOP has, they are the corporations. So that's what I found so amusing. And Tucker Carlson, who is a GOP hack, was on Fox the other day, and he's a Fox pundit, and was saying that the president is looking out for corporations and has bailed out the corporations with this provision. What about you, the average citizen? And Tucker Carlson asked the Democratic Joel Tripi, and Joel Tripi couldn't answer the question, but I guess Joe isn't as informed as we are, but I'll answer it for him. The first year, no one has to pay the tax penalty the first year. You have to have, for the American citizens out there, you have to start having health coverage in 2014, but the penalties don't kick in until the year later. So Tucker Carlson, there's the answer to your question.
Well, is this our cue to start, you know, screaming at Tucker Carlson as a socialist? Has he turned the page? You know, I mean that's their favorite thing. If they don't like it, you're a socialist. Today, the CNBC anchor called, we're concerned about the environment, a bona fide cult of viral socialist. I fear that if someone from the right wing did not like the way I placed the toilet paper on the wall, they would call me a socialist. Exactly. It's a red-baiting, red scare, 60 years later, but really not nearly as impressive.
Well, they blatantly lie and say that the president's not looking out for the consumers. The Obamacare is all about consumer protections. It's about not allowing insurance companies to drop you from your health care plan for a pre-existing condition, not deny you health coverage for a pre-existing condition, keep you on your plan, on your parents' plan at age 26 if they have health insurance coverage, cover up the Medicare D donut hole, making it criminal for insurance companies to put caps. They have those 80-20 rule where they have to use 80% of the cost on health care. If not, you get a rebate check for in some cases. I mean, down the road, I mean, this is all about helping the American people. Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Fox, I mean, you guys are lying through your teeth to the American people every single day. And some people are saying, well, that's what Fox does, but we got to call them out every time they do it. Because some people are actually buying that rhetoric.
Absolutely. The Fox News, Rupert Murdoch, the illustrate what journalism was back in the Gilded Age and what it is today. You're absolutely right. There's no negatives there, what you just described. What negatives? Is controlling costs. It's bringing them down. You know, unashamedly, I believe single payer is the method that will resolve a lot of our issues here in terms of cost and efficiency. And I'm talking about the insurance companies themselves. You know, I've long said insurance companies, where they skim profit off of the medical care industry. It reminds me of Bugsy Siegel in about 1946 in Las Vegas, and we know how the mafia took care of that.
Well, we all know about that, and for Sean Hannity and the Tucker Carlson of the world, I challenge you. I challenge you, and I'm sure you would as well, to a one-hour debate, or it doesn't even have to be a one-hour, one-segment debate on Obamacare, and including on this provision. And we instead they'll have plants on their shows and so-called Democratic strategists that we've never heard of half the time.
Exactly. It would be very entertaining to have such a conversation with someone. Although you recall that I ran for office here in Kentucky last year and could not get my opponent to come out to debate. Tea Partiers, they're not enthusiastic about facing people who disagree with them.
We won't hold our breath on that. But you know, when you look at this provision, it's, I think the president was also, or two things. I think the president was looking at 2014. There's going to be a lot of changes. As you mentioned earlier, let's give small businesses, let's give corporations, let's give the American people, let's give them a year to fill things out for the first year. But also, I think it's also to let more people have that option of going into the federal health exchange system and seeing that it's actually more beneficial in the federal health exchange system. And that's one of the things, as you mentioned, that they're scared, they are frightened of, is the more people that enroll, that it's not this big bad boogeyman, that it's actually going to become even more and more popular. And we're already seeing states like California and Oregon that have announced their federal health exchange system because they're actually working with the federal government, unlike South Carolina and some of these red states. And the plans turn out to be just as affordable, if not lower, than the plans we have now.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, overall, in a more broad view, I believe that the pendulum is about to swing. I think it already has. A lot of things are happening in this nation, both economically and politically and socially. The economy is getting better. We're going to have, over the second term of this president, close to 12 million jobs created. And that's going to be a legacy. They're going to be hard put to defeat. And that's what they're afraid of. We're having a circumstance of medical care where the situation is improving, more access, more people at a less cost. This is all positive. You look at what happened in the Supreme Court last week with the gay marriage issue. The pendulum is swinging, and the people on the right, they're afraid of that. They're trying to hold on to their power with their fingernails, and they'll do anything. Look, this is an example. If you look at the House Oversight Committee, it's a scandal of the week from Darrell Issa, and each and every one of them is melting down. It's like sort of a freak television show, Al Capone's Vault 2, the Benghazi edition. And honestly, I'm very encouraged. It's still a struggle, and we cannot let up. But the pendulum is swinging, and America will benefit, and the nation will be stronger because of it.
And they can't get it through their heads. They can't sink into reality. They're still in Tea Party la-la land, and they can't get it through their heads that Obamacare is here to stay. It's been here for a couple years now. Most of the major provisions have kicked into place, especially in 2014. And there's not going to, we're still going to have a Democratic majority, Democratic president for this president's second term. It's not going anywhere. Millions of people have already benefited, as you mentioned. Medicare is already going to save so much money from it. Hospitals are saving millions of dollars already from the young adult staying on their parents' plan 26 provision that are now on their health, parents' health care plans. Instead of having to go to the ER and not having being able to pay their bills or whatever, the ER bills, it's already saved the hospitals over $100 million. It's already saving seniors hundreds of dollars a year on their prescription drugs because the Medicare D donut hole has been closed up. Millions of people have already benefited from it. It's not going anywhere, and it's time for the Republican Party to stop trying to repeal it, trying to stop it every step of the way, and trying to work with this president to try to help the American people instead of the health insurance companies that have they're bought and paid for by.
Absolutely. The right-wing agenda to repeal the 20th century has been, I think, halted and blunted. But if they had been in charge, say, 1929 to 1932, there would have been no New Deal. Something they've been fighting, by the way, for the last 80 years to repeal. They've been fighting the last 50 years to repeal the Civil Rights Act. And they might have made a dent in that last week. But ultimately, I think, as I said before, the pendulum is swinging. We will not be repealing the 20th century, no matter what they think. We will not be going back in time to that fantasy never existed period of who knows what. It's not taking America back. We are taking America back to the future. That's where we're going, not the 21st century, on to the 22nd, not back to the 19th.
Yeah, we're moving forward, not backwards. And I think, you know, the term progressives, and I've said on this show several times, these are the regressives. But Bill, I want to thank you so much for coming on this show. It's been a pleasure. And thanks for breaking down this topic and calling out the GOP for another Obamacare lawman.
Always enjoy it. Thank you very much, David. See you again.
And we're about to go into a commercial break. You're listening to Inside Politics. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
The show that covers covers politics from...
What's your plan B? Is what you're doing taking you toward or away from your goals? Are you fulfilled? You can start over. The past is the past. This is a revolution of hope. We provide a way for extra income, part or full time, with a mission and vision of hope designed to inspire. This is the greatest movement on earth. Make a commitment to yourself and ask, what do you want your life to be like? Join us in our revolution of hope. Go to tellmeplanb.com or call 803-431-0775.
Right now, I'm standing in a hole, a 300-foot deep hole to be exact. But even though I'm down here, I'm still connected to the entire job site because I have the new Sprint Direct Connect with apps like Workforce Locator that lets me know my foreman, Mike, is...
Yeah, I'm here.
And I have three times the coverage, so I know that my most important delivery...
Just arrived.
And as part of the fastest push-to-talk, I can assemble my team the moment I need them. Guys?
On our way.
So now I can focus on turning this hole into a hotel.
Upgrade to the new Dunn. The new Sprint Direct Connect with three times the coverage and access to the fastest push-to-talk experience nationwide. Now when you buy one Motorola Admiral Rugged smartphone for $49.99, you'll get one free. To upgrade, call 800-SPRINT-1 or visit a Sprint store near you. Offer ends 1/10/13. Offer available to corporate liable accounts. Excludes taxes. Two-year agreement. $36 activation. Up to $350 early termination fee for devices. Fastest claim based on initial setup time for push-to-talk calls originating in Nextel or Sprint-owned 3G coverage. Coverage claim based on comparison of Nextel National Network square miles to Sprint National Network inclusive of roaming. Restrictions apply. See store.
And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Letting the days go by, letting the water hold me down, letting the days go by.
And you are Inside Politics with David Caleb, the show that covers the issues that affect you. And hope everybody's having a great Friday evening. And before we get back into tonight's Friday edition, in the news, we've heard that Oregon has become the 16th state to want to overturn, call for overturning of Citizens United, for an amendment overturning Citizens United. So kudos to Oregon. And also in the news, we all know about that heinous Supreme Court decision last week of striking down Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. And according to latest poll, majority of the American people are against that decision. According to the poll, 51% of Americans disagree with the Supreme Court's decision to strike down Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. And I say that what's scary about that is that it wasn't higher than that. 51%? You think it'd be about 91%. But tonight, it's all about the Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, Zimmerman trial. And, you know, we've been hearing a lot over the media over the last couple of days and all the outlets on the Trayvon Martin trial. And when you look at this particular trial, we're expecting a decision in the next coming week, possibly, on this case. I mean, here's the facts. Those are the facts regarding this case, is that Trayvon Martin was walking down the street on a rainy, dark night. He had nothing but Skittles and iced tea when he had went to the store to purchase it. And Zimmerman, who is a wannabe cop, who always wanted to be a cop and failed at that, was a neighborhood watchman who was following him, racial profiling, and even though a 911 dispatcher told George Zimmerman to stop and not pursue, don't get out of the car, Zimmerman continued to pursue and got out of his car, followed Trayvon, pursued Trayvon Martin, and that's when the altercation happened. That, to me, is aggression, and that is the pursuer that started the altercation. Now, whether what happened after that, to me, I think, I could be wrong, is irrelevant. It matters who started the altercation. And Zimmerman was the one. And we heard testimony today that from the medical examiner autopsy for Trayvon Martin that stated that there were no bruises from Trayvon Martin's hands. The only thing was an abrasion. And according to the medical examiner, that lesion on Trayvon Martin's hand could have been there from before the lesion on his hand. So it contradicts Zimmerman's whole story. Whole story from what we heard from the testimony today. But this, the facts that we know. Trayvon Martin, no weapon on him, was a threat to nobody. He was walking while black in a neighborhood on a radiant dark night, and this guy chose to be a vigilante, and I don't even call him a vigilante because there was no crime here, and committed murder. Those are the facts of this case. And joining me tonight to discuss this topic, it doesn't matter who said what word or what word and what word to who. What matters was who pursued and who started the altercation and who murdered the other human being. Those are the facts that we know. Joining us tonight to discuss this topic is Mr. Walter Brash, syndicated columnist and author. And hello, Walter. Thanks for joining us.
Good evening, David.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to have you on. And, you know, we've heard a lot about this trial, and what seems to get lost in the whole part of this trial is who started the altercation, who pursued who, and the 911 call.
Yeah, I think that's the issue here is that, yes, Trayvon Martin may have hit George Zimmerman. I don't know if he did or didn't. He may have. But the fact is that once Zimmerman was told to stay in his car, I mean, watch, the neighborhood watch is not supposed to be cops. They're supposed to watch and then call the cops. And the 911 operator, as you said, said stay in your car. But he had some reason to get out of his car for whatever reason, and once he got out of that car, he makes himself a suspect, I guess. He shows up in the car. We don't know why he went out after Trayvon Martin, unless he figured that somebody wearing a hoodie coming from a store must have stolen something, because like you said, walking while black is a crime, apparently.
Yeah, and you know, I guess that gets lost in the whole discussion about when you hear the media coverage of this case. It's about, you know, who hit who had the worst injuries. Let's say, you know, Trayvon Martin was walking, and Zimmerman got out of the car, pursued Trayvon Martin, and the start of the altercation. Trayvon Martin was trying to get away from Zimmerman, and then there was an altercation. Now, let's say we don't know what happened at that point, but let's say Zimmerman, when he started the altercation, Trayvon Martin beat him up. It still doesn't matter because Zimmerman started the altercation and started the first physical confrontation with him. He just, whether or not we don't know this part, whether or not Trayvon Martin got the best of Zimmerman or not in the fight is irrelevant. What matters was who started the fight.
Exactly, and I think if I remember correctly, Zimmerman was saying is that he felt his life was threatened.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, had he not gotten out of the car, his life would not have been threatened. And I think, again, that's the key issue that I don't think the prosecution is really pushing. I don't think the prosecution, you know, from what I've seen of the case or heard of the case, because I'm not there, but I hear about, you know, the argument was there are two people involved in this in this case. One is dead and the other is a liar. Well, you know, that's just grandstanding. I think the prosecution may have put on some witnesses that weren't properly prepped, and some of the witnesses for the prosecution may not have been the best possible, you know, witnesses. But again, you still have a case of the issue, as you said, that's central to this is had Zimmerman not gotten out of his car, this would not have occurred.
And that's what's scary about this case, too, is if Zimmerman does walk away, and we'll see what happens, but if Zimmerman walks away, this sets a dangerous precedent that you can follow somebody and pursue them, and that, there's nothing illegal about that, but you get out of your car and you run after them and start an altercation, and then you start the fight, but let's say you're getting you get beat up, you can pull out a gun and kill the person, but you were the one that started the fight. To me, if anyone should have has the case for, well, Zimmerman didn't use Stand Your Ground, and that's a whole other story we'll get to. If anybody should have used Stand Your Ground, if it's Trayvon Martin. But he's not alive.
And, you know, I get really kind of annoyed about have to carry guns. Stanford Watch people aren't supposed to be carrying guns to begin with. I mean, that's not part of their job. Now, auxiliary police would carry guns, and those are often volunteers. But I think, as you mentioned earlier, Zimmerman was not a qualified police officer. But I guess in Florida, the radical right wing, of course, believes that everybody should be able to carry a gun whether they know what they're doing or not. And part of good gun control is knowing when to use it and when not to use it.
It is just one of those examples as well. And then there's this controversial Stand Your Ground law that has gotten a lot of people off. And of course, there's the Castle Doctrine, similar laws to Stand Your Ground in other states, that sets this huge gray area where someone can say, you know, I thought they were a threat to me, they were coming near me or my property, and they can use this defense, and it has a huge gray area because it's hard to prove whether or not someone feels they're in danger or not. That's really hard to prove.
Yeah, exactly. And see, again, it comes down to the overuse of guns in America. It's like, if everybody can carry a gun, well, let's say that Zimmerman was not carrying a gun, but let's say that he was carrying mace or something. The odds are mace would have been effective if he thought Trayvon Martin was a bad guy, because there was no evidence that he was carrying a gun. So let's say he's using mace. Well, that's enough to disable somebody. And the whole idea about guns, I mean, this just kind of annoys me, and that issue is not being brought up in the media very much.
No, I think what's got lost in the whole scuffle is the Stand Your Ground law, because George Zimmerman, let's face it, Stand Your Ground has, I mean, a lot of prosecutors, a lot of police officers warned, in the state of Florida was one of them, that this is going to set a dangerous precedent. It's made it tougher to prosecute murderers. It's made it tougher to prosecute murderers, these Stand Your Ground laws, and many prosecutors have argued this as well. And in the case of Zimmerman, Zimmerman knew what Stand Your Ground laws were. They played the Sean Hannity interview with Zimmerman, and Zimmerman in those Sean Hannity interviews said that he had never heard of Stand Your Ground laws. Well, we find out that not only had he heard of Stand Your Ground law, he got an A-plus in a class, a gun class, where they taught Stand Your Ground laws.
Hmm. Yeah, that part I hadn't heard, but the whole thing is all screwy to begin with. Now, part of the problem of this entire case is you got the media that have come in, and they've really stirred this up, so it's hard to find, A, an objective jury to begin with, and B, it's hard to find where the truth is, because wherever you turn, someone from the media is going to have a different opinion. And I kind of like think that maybe in this case, had the newspapers, and especially the people like Nancy Grace, just shut up, you know, we might have had a fair trial.
And it also says a lot that Zimmerman in a defense team chose not to go with Stand Your Ground.
And I don't think I've read anything about that. It'd be interesting to find some in the United States, but I'm not sure we have any left.
Yeah, I mean, I think that set a red flag that when this first happened, that's what Zimmerman was pleading, that they were going to use the Stand Your Ground law offense. Then it goes, when it gets ready to set the trial, they choose not to go with Stand Your Ground. I think they knew that, of course, they would have used it if they didn't. They knew that they couldn't win using Stand Your Ground. I think that was a huge red flag.
Yeah, I don't know how long more this trial is supposed to go on, or until we get a verdict, at least, but it's taking up a whole lot of the court's time, I don't know, it's just a case that I suspect that it may not be murder, may not be first-degree murder for sure, but
It could be manslaughter. I don't see how he's going to get off without any kind of penalty. And if he does, I might start to wonder what's going on out there. And it's probably because the prosecution did not do as good a job as they thought they did.
It would be a huge travesty and say a lot about our criminal justice system as well. And one of the things that they played during the court was a Sean Hannity interview that Zimmerman did shortly after the murder. And of course, Sean Hannity's been fairly Zimmerman. And I think this says a lot about, we know how low Fox and Hannity can go, but the fact that as a radio and talk show host, you would get in the middle of a murder trial the way Sean Hannity did?
Well, you know, the place Fox viewers who are scared of anybody of color to begin with, and they've kind of like overlooked the fact that Zimmerman may be a person of color, because what they've said is, well, he's really a person of color, so it can't be that, and we're not racist because, look, he's Hispanic. Well, the fact is that I suspect a whole lot of the Fox people are black versus a Hispanic, they'll go along with the Hispanic. I tried to follow Fox a couple of times. I listened to Hannity a few weeks ago, and, well, at a certain point, you just have to take out your barf bag.
Yeah. And, you know, it also says a lot about you with this trial is that it becomes, we've become so politicized with so many things. That this trial has seemed to, as you mentioned, Fox and conservatives on Zimmerman and other outlets, and it seems like a lot of progressives on the Trayvon Martin side. And I would say that this should come down to right and wrong. You know, you have a kid, I believe, was he 16, 17 years old, for walking with Skittles and iced tea. I don't care what political party or what side you are. Right should be right, and wrong is wrong. And I think, you know, people should be looking at that. I think that's what's become wrong with the politicizing of climate change, politicizing of hurricane disaster relief funding. So many things have become politicized when it just comes down to right and wrong.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point, is that MSNBC is not exactly, you know, the white hats in this either, you know, because they're coming down on it as anti-Zimmerman, and there's enough there to be anti-Zimmerman, but it's really turned into, as you said, conservative versus progressive, when it really should be right or wrong.
Yeah, I mean, in this particular case, I don't look at it as the way Hannity or some NBC hosts or other hosts looking at this as, well, you know, I got to defend Zimmerman and stand your ground laws, or defend this person on this particular issue. This should come down to defending a young teenager who was murdered, who was brutally murdered for not doing anything violently, was doing something that millions of Americans do, walk in a neighborhood at 9, 10 o'clock at night from the store. So I think that's, you know, one of the things they've done is divide us on race and politics, and it's gotten some people to not look at what's going on. In the end, you end up having some people that are rooting for a murder.
See, another thing that annoyed me with Fox coverage is that Limbaugh and some of the others were showing pictures. You know, people, you know, the attitude of, this is what they want you to think Trayvon Martin looked like, and they showed a nice, wonderful little man who was, you know, maybe 13 or 15 or whatever, and they said, this is what he really looks like today, you know, and this is a recent picture, and they show, like, a guy that looks like a hood, and they were trying to say, this guy is not as nice as people say he is. Well, that's not the issue. He could have been a rat for all I know, but the question is, did he deserve to die for what he did?
Yeah, it's irrelevant to the issue. I've heard that argument, too. They tried to destroy Trayvon Martin's credibility, saying that he got into a lot of trouble in high school. He got suspended a couple times. Wow, a teenager getting suspended from school. And he also smoked marijuana or whatever. Wow, a 16, 17-year-old that got suspended from school a couple times and had smoked pot. Wow, you know, I mean, that could be the case for millions of high school kids today. I mean,
exactly. And their parents, I might add.
And it has nothing to do with the case. You know, it doesn't matter how much trouble someone's got into, what someone's past was. You know, you have every right to walk at 9, 10 o'clock at night through a neighborhood after you brought Skittles or iced tea or whatever. That has, what your past history has nothing to do with what happened that night.
Yeah, another issue that came up, or it should come up somewhere, I'm sure it did somewhere, is in law. You can't just stop a person and frisk them unless you have some kind of probable cause. And if Trayvon if George Zimmerman was really, really a gung-ho cop type, what was his probable cause to stop this person? I think that needs to be examined.
I think that should be examined. I still think we need to examine standard ground laws, even though Zimmerman didn't use it. But this is something that he had learned. He knew the law. He knew Florida law. I think we need to look at standard ground laws, too, even though it was not used in his trial. Zimmerman, it was something he used as a basis for. So we have to look at the gun laws, look at the criminal justice system, because this case, I think, pops a lot of questions that you're right, Walter. And in today's testimony, one of the things that we've heard Zimmerman and his defense team talk about is that Trayvon Martin caused a lot of lacerations, bruises, broken bones, whatever. Well, you look at today's testimony from the medical examiner who did the autopsy for Trayvon Martin. He stated that on the hands, there were no bruises or broken bones on his hands or his fist. Only thing was an abrasion on Trayvon Martin. An abrasion. And he stated that abrasion could have been there before the night of this incident, which takes away a large part of what the defense has been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Trayvon Martin caused all these injuries. Now, how are you the aggressor when all you have is a lesion on your hands that was there from, could have been there from before? There's no proof that it was there from the night. This is from the doctor. And how are you the aggressor when you would just walk down the street? This guy was the one that got out the car. I mean, I don't have to be a lawyer to know all this.
Well, also, I don't think you have to be aware to know that even some of the DNA studies that I heard, I don't know how accurate they are, but they didn't find any DNA on of Trayvon Martin on the gun. So, and they did find a lot on Zimmerman. So, who knows what's going on here? What I do know is something is wrong out there, and I'm getting really tired of hearing people on Fox News, and I do watch it every now and then because I have to see what the opposition thinks, but I'm getting tired of them making this a case of good old white boys are defending themselves against really bad black criminals.
And one of the things that the defense has done, and Fox and Zimmerman supporters, is continue to change the topic whenever evidence comes up. In the case of that testimony today with examination, autopsy, instead of focusing, Zimmerman's attorneys, instead of focusing on what this doctor said about the abrasion, and they try to change the subject to, why did they put wet clothing into the bag? And then the other thing they tried to say was, why are you using notes? I mean, I think he was reading from some notes, not the whole testimony, but there were a couple times he had some notes with him. And that was, and then the media ran with it, and it was about why was he using his notes?
Well, that's the thing that amazes me is that I think on something very complicated, I don't know how many people would be able to memorize their entire investigation.
From 2 years ago.
Exactly.
And we've seen this, the defense do this time and time again, is whenever a witness comes up and it goes against Zimmerman, they change the topic away from the central issue, a kind of a GOP tactic, too. But, I mean, we saw it today. Instead of talking about the abrasion, also Trayvon Martin, he said, was alive for a minute to 10 minutes after the gunshot, which we didn't know before today.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they focused on what type of bag they put the clothing in, and then focused on him having notes. at the trial. And we've seen this time and time again. We saw it when this young girl that is a friend of Trayvon Martin that testified, and she gave some testimony against Zimmerman as well. Instead, they focused on her lying that she didn't go to her funeral, and also because she couldn't read. Now, I don't think it's a crime that you can't be, you're not able to, you're illiterate in the United States.
Yeah, exactly, especially at stake. I guess, you know, it's a case of a good lawyer, I guess, tries to come up with everything imaginable and hopes that some of it sticks. But
and the media is running with it. I mean, the media, yeah. The media gets away from the central facts, and then they run with, did she lie about a minor? A lie is a lie, but they're lies that don't have to do with the central part of the case.
Yeah, that's exactly. And yes, she may not have been the greatest of all possible witnesses, but the fact is that the defense attorney is, I guess he must be pretty good. I didn't like his opening with the stupid joke that he gave. But that's a whole other issue. And this lines up to be exactly what you learn in law school, is that it's not what right or wrong, but it's who can win.
Yeah, and how you can change the topic. And then, you know, I think if being illiterate is something where you're discredited, then, you know, half the Tea Party could be discredited.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I would not give them any credibility to even go with anything. So there's nothing there to discredit. They are just by their nature.
But I think, you know, there's something that maybe I'm missing here, because a lot of these media outlets are saying that the prosecution has a tough case, they don't have a lot to work with. But yet, you know, when you look at all the witnesses and what we've seen over the last couple of weeks and the events that we know, I mean, maybe there's something that I'm not seeing, Walter. Because from the testimonies I heard today, the testimonies we've heard over the last couple of weeks, and all the facts we know of the case, Zimmerman's been discredited so many times. Trayvon's mom gave a stirring testimony today. Maybe there's something that all of these media outlets are seeing that I'm not seeing.
I don't think they're bright enough, but that's a whole other issue. I think one of the reasons why there may be a possibility of conviction, and I don't know this, again, I'm not impressed with the prosecution, but you know, I'd like to see, as they say, justice done, is if you have a jury and it's 12 people, only one of those 12 has to say the person is innocent, or you have a hung jury. Here you only have 6 people, so the odds are a little bit better that maybe they'll be able to find 6 people that will call him guilty than all 12 on a 12-person jury. But again, I don't know.
Well, I hope they look at the facts of the case and not look at some of the persuasions from the defense that have tried to get people off topic and off the central points. I hope they'll focus on the facts, such as the testimonies today, and not whether or not they could read, were literate, or were taking had notes at the out there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like I said, the defense attorney has to go after all of these things because, you know, it's sort of like a shotgun type of approach. It's like shoot it and see what you can get with it, rather than a true rifle. And I think that what he's doing is he's going after a whole lot of things to try to confuse the issue. Well, it's up to the prosecution to unconfuse the issue, and I'm not sure you've done a good job on that either.
Well, I hope the jury looks at all the facts, looks through all the rhetoric, and justice is served. But we'll definitely keep an ear and eye out and continue to follow this this trial. But
yeah, maybe that next week when we're having our conversation, we'll still be talking about this case.
You know, hopefully we'll have a decision made, and then we can also look at whatever happens in this case, continue to talk about the stand your ground laws and guns in general. Just to name a few. But as always, Walter, it's been a pleasure. You have a new book out, Fracking Pennsylvania, for our listeners.
Yeah, it's a study about the controversial practice of digging into the earth and causing environmental and health issues and health problems at the expense of the public. We have a companies that are claiming, and politicians as well, that this is good for America because it will create jobs, and they're not looking at anything else, like I said, the health and the environment. So the book looks at all these issues and what the scientists say, because apparently none of the politicians know how to read science.
Or they just don't want to. But Walter, thank you so much for coming on the show. And for our listeners, make sure to check out Fracking Pennsylvania, great new book by our guest tonight, Walter Brash. As always, Walter, thanks for coming on.
And thank you very much. Talk to you again.
And that's it for tonight's show. You can email the show at insidepolitics@ymail.com. insidepolitics@ymail.com. Make sure to check out our Sunday show. We'll be on Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to our website, insidepoliticsonline.com, for show time and details. Until Sunday, I'm out.